Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Cave Show with DLR. I know I usually come on with that old school Chicago Bulls sports entrance, but just letting you guys know, we have to change it up every now and then. Every now and then, you got to go back in, you got to grab it, that old Gladys Knight in the fifth on this Friday. What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show with DLR. This is PLR, and we are coming to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located in Chandler, Arizona, right off Alma School in Chandler Heights. Cigars at the Cave Show Day. A lot of good sports to get into today. I've got special guest, my guy, the one and only Keith Pompey, hanging out with me today. He's set, loaded to go. Just have to get through the quick sponsor stuff. Of course, I'm here at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Like I said, located locally in Chandler on Alma School in Chandler Heights. Get on down here and get yourself a stick. Let them know that PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of your cigar purchase as long as you mention that PLR sent you. You can also become a club member, get you access to the members' lounge. You get a locker with your name on it, back right up to the humidor, and never worry about the stick going bad. Everything you need to fill at home, tons of TVs, refrigerator, microwave, ice maker, everything you need to fill at home, my home away from home. One of the best humidors you're going to find. If you can't make it down, just go to Stogie World, StogieWorld.com. Order your sticks early enough in the day. They will ship out the exact same day. Cigar of the day today is the Esteban Cabrera Devil's Hand. So come on down here and definitely check it out at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Like I said, coming up right now is my guy, the one, the only. Here's the best part about him, Keith. We don't just talk. We're going to get into everything. We're going to talk about his Giants. You know, he's doing backflips about them right now. So without further ado, Philly Inquirer's very own 76ers beat writer, my guy, the one and only Keith Pompey. My brother, what is going down?
Not your squad, not Chicago. We can say that. We can get that right off the bat.
You know what? See, you're not supposed to come in just firing shots. Now, I will say this: this may be the first time in 3 years I might have to actually pick up the bill.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But see, the thing about it is, you're such a good brother that I hate it, because normally, like I said, I was telling my wife, like, "Hey, there might be a dent in this credit card, but I just let you know I lost the bet," and then come back to like, "Dang, nothing." Like, I'm like, "Yeah, he a good dude." so since you're a good dude, we might go to Chick-fil-A or something.
Hell, you know what? Chick-fil-A might be more expensive than where we've been going, because I went to Chick-fil-A the other day for the boys. That was about 50 bones, dude. I'm like, "But damn, just to get you enough chicken for dinner and lunch tomorrow, that's not cheap."
Yeah. Yeah.
Chick-fil-A should come to the table. But let me just say this right now. Your Giants are balling. I know your Giants are balling. But you know what? I'm happy with the way my Bears suck this year, if that makes any sense. They're not terrible. And we got young, and we got about $110 million in cap space. The Bears are going to be all right.
Yeah. Yeah, they will. They will be. The Bears are definitely going to be all right. Like, it was funny because I was somewhere and the guy was clowning. He was like, "Yeah, look at the Bears. They got this. They're developing that quarterback. He looks good, and they're going to be all right." And then I was about to say, "But nobody wants to go to no one wants to go to Chicago." And then he looked at me, and I looked at him, and I said, "Yeah, you're right. They're going to be all right."
Yeah, man. You know, we had to get through this year. I had to definitely get through this year. But I tell you what, I am very happy with the direction they're going, because for the first time in forever, we have a plan. And that's something we haven't had in a long time in Chicago. You know, so I'll definitely take it. You know, I do this a lot from Maduro's, and every now and then, you know, you get a little background as folks listen. But I would tell you this, man. Your Giants are doing well. Now, here's my question for you. Are they going to end up beating out the Eagles?
I sure hope so, man, because, you know, I talk so much trash. I mean, as you know, we're on Facebook friends, and I always keep it started. And I think, like, I'm talking so much trash about December the 11th that, you know, I really hope they do. Because if not, I think I may have to get off Facebook for a little bit. Because you know they're going to come at me. You know they're going to come at me. So I'm really nervous about that game. But I won't let people in Philly know that. But I'm really nervous about that game.
You know, you might have to do what Instagram does whenever they put up a story, someone puts up a story they don't want feedback from and just disable all comments. I think you know, Jada Pinkett hasn't had a comment in almost a year. She won't let nobody comment. So, you know, you might just write to no comments on everything.
Well, you didn't have to have your husband go up there and smack a dude. You know what I mean?
Especially since he laughed at the joke when it started. Look, we're both married. We're both married. We know that you ain't going to do nothing about it. Look, when they give us that look. Every wife has that look where you look over and you're like, oh, crap. Oh, let me go and handle this now. And she don't want to give him that look. So he went up there and ruined his, you know, I won't say ruined, but he paused his career for that slap.
Yeah, it's funny too, because, you know, he was in Philly last week or a couple of days ago. He went back to his old high school and this and that, and everybody's going crazy. And, you know, for the most part, you know, Will Smith is a nice guy, but, you know, you see it as, like, I'm coming back to my roots, you know what I mean, and trying to rebuild everything. But, yeah, it was crazy, though. She did give him that look. That was like the death stare, man. It was like, it was crazy.
You know, don't be fooled by Hollywood either. They trying to help him out. I was looking through the TV a couple weeks ago, and they had Gemini Man on, and they had all three Bad Boys. They had a couple of movies. I said they're doing their part to help him back out, help ease him back in, so they won't feel so bad when they come out with this next Bad Boys. They want to make $300 million off it. Hollywood get mad, but they ain't mad enough to mess up their pocket over cat slapping the cat. It ain't that bad.
Especially when that's where you smacked one of your boys. Like, if you had smacked one of their friends, it would have been different. You know, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, no, he's on the Will Smith comeback tour. He's back on Instagram. Like you said, he's in Philly. So, ain't nobody worried about that. My question is, Jada can't go on a comeback tour because I don't think she was ever. You got to come back to something, don't you? But I better shut up before Will Smith running to me somewhere and smack me. So I ain't going to mention that.
Hey,
what do you say?
I said, you better be careful.
Keep a name out of my mouth. I better watch myself. I better watch myself. So,
I know.
All with me, my brother, my man, Keith Pompey, Philly Inquirer, 76ers beat writer, brother. I've got to ask you. I know we're going to talk. We talk about everything on the show, but I got to ask you, is Doc in trouble?
You know what, man? I think he is. You know, I hope that he isn't. And I'm going to put this in context because, you know, when we look at this team, what we see is two pieces not fitting, Joel Embiid and James Harden. Two pieces didn't injure, right? James Harden, Joel Embiid. You know, P.J. Tucker is playing with a bruised right hip. P.J. Tucker also looks slow. He's having a tough time defending. You know, another one of the off-season acquisitions is in the shooting slump. You know, so it to me, it's kind of like this is the roster isn't as good as it was hyped up to be. And it typically takes time to keep people together. But I think, like, all this self-promotion that they had and all this hype, it's not Doc's fault.
that they don't have a pure point guard, that they don't have a backup, a legitimate backup center for Embiid. So, you know, I'm looking at this and I'm saying, yes, he's going to be on the hot seat because the coach is typically the one fired when stuff like that happens. But it's not his fault. It's definitely not his fault.
It seems like from outside looking in, and I watched maybe about two or three of their games, and you know, when you look up and you see Harden, and this is before he got hurt, you see Harden, and you see Embiid, and PJ, see, I believe he has a certain mental toughness, but the way he plays, eventually age is going to catch up with that toughness and the quickness, because these young Thundercats, man, they move too fast. But it just seems like from outside looking in, there's something missing. You know, you see Maxey, you know how good he's going to be. But it's almost like when you taste something, you're like, it's good, but it's missing something. But you don't know what it is. Why are they having such a hard time figuring out what that thing is to just get them right?
Well, you know, I kind of think there's two things right now. Like, but when you got Harden and you got Embiid playing, I think it's two different styles. I mean, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you got Harden who likes the iso ball. He likes to have floor spread. He likes dribble extremely ball dominant. And you know, that's how he plays. And Embiid is the kind of guy that he likes, even though he's 7'2", 200 pounds, he likes to have the offense to run through him through the high post as well. Actually, at the same spot that Harden loves being, right? So he can either facilitate or he can take people off the dribble, do whatever he wants, right? And he posts up from time to time. So one of those guys has to say, no, I got to be the guy that's going to fit in. And that's a problem. And then right now what we're figuring out with Maxey is Maxey's a good player. But also, you know how it is. It's kind of like there was a time when Devin Booker was good, but he wasn't quite the anointed one. Like, he got good games,
right,
and he did stuff. But he, you know, when he had to assume that role to be that alpha dog in regards to, like, getting buckets and scoring and taking on the number one defender and all that, the primary defender, he would struggle for a little bit. And I think that this is what it is with Maxey. It's just his evolution. Now, when he plays with James Harden, you know, Harden draws that attention. So Maxey is getting off on a guy that's not on his level, typically, you know,
okay,
defending him. But it's just when he goes up and he has to be the lead dog, now we're looking at, like, okay, he's a combo guard. He's not a point guard. Okay. He's taking a lot of shots, but he's not making a lot of shots because, you know, you go from having, you know, the third option, the third best defender guard, to the second or the first. And I think, you know, that's hard for a lot of guys to adjust to.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I can definitely see that. Bench letting you down this year? Or are they doing exactly what you expected them to do?
You know what, and it's weird. Like, it's easy to say the bench is letting you down because you're looking at it, but last night was a prime example, and James even played. Tyrese Maxey, Joel Embiid, and Tobias Harris combined to take 50 of the 83 shot attempts. So the bench, we, you know, you look at it, and you're like, oh, my God. Look at a bench point. They're like one of the worst teams in the league in points. But then you also realize they're not getting opportunities to do anything. Like, the one guy who's getting the majority of the shots on the bench is George Niang, right? But outside of him, there's really not a lot going on. So you look at the bench and you'll say, wow, the bench is trash. Some people will say that, right? But and the bench does need a backup point guard, a real point guard, and they do need a big center, I believe. But at the same time, these other guys, you know, they're just running up and down the court and being space setters. And everybody, but it's not working because everybody knows.
So where do they go? I mean, when you look at the standings where they are, let me ask you this. I know Bill Parcells once said, you are what your record says you are. I don't believe they're as bad as their record says they are. Is that team, or are they a 500 team?
You know, it's weird, man. Like, when I looked at them defensively, they're not that good. They're just not. They're older and they're slow. Like, if you look at, okay, let's take the Phoenix Suns, for instance, right? So you have Chris Paul. You have a couple older veterans off the bench. But a lot of their key starters are now younger. Even Book, like, he's been in the league for a while, but he's still considered a younger guy, right? You look at the Sixers, right? Their starting lineup is, you know, you got Joel Embiid, who's 28, but then you have Tobias Harris, who's 30, James Harden, who's 33, T.J. Tucker, 37, and, of course, Tyrese Maxey is only 22. But at the same time, it's like I look at them and they're just like they're slower guys. They can't keep up with the young guys, and you know, and so I look at it that, you know, right now, and we're talking about James Harden, a guy who has a lot of miles. Play. He played a lot of minutes, a lot of injuries. Joel Embiid, a lot of injuries. So I think that they were overhyped. Now, who knows? Or do I expect them to make the playoffs, make the push? Yeah. But at the same time, it's one of those things that is everyone hyped them up to be.
On the line with me, the one only Keith Pompey, Philly Inquirer, 76ers beat writer. Even if they get right, let's say, Harden is healthy going into playoffs, Embiid is healthy going in, Max is doing his thing. Are they a real threat to either the Bucks or Boston?
Nah. No. Oh, no, they don't. Because when you look at it, you know, they have a lot of weaknesses. But one of their weaknesses is one of their main weaknesses is perimeter defense, right? So we look at, you know, you look at James Harden and Tyrese Maxey, they basically can't guard, right? Their scorers, they who struggle in the defensive end. So when you look at Boston, right, you look at that team and you say, who are their best players? Their two best players are wings. And then they got Malcolm Brogdon, right? They can't guard these guys, and that's going to kill them. They just can't guard them. Joel Embiid's going to score some points. You know, Maxey is going to get some points, but on the defensive end, they just can't guard them. And then when you look at Milwaukee, you got Giannis. Chris Middleton is going to be back. You have Drew Holiday. You know what I mean? They just they're not deep enough to contend with these teams. You know, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it is what it is. They just don't have it.
In that series, if Boston were to play Milwaukee, who do you like?
You know, right now everybody's going with Milwaukee, right? You know, everybody's going with Milwaukee, but, you know, I think the Boston thing is, at that point, I think that Boston would be healthy. I know Milwaukee would be healthy as well. But I like Boston. I mean, I think that they did a lot of growth last year with Jason Tatum and Jason Brown growing together. And then, you know, right now, once they get healthy, I think they're probably the deepest team in the East. You know, I do. Now, the question mark is the coach. How is he going to be able to handle that playoff series? We already know that Budenholzer, you know, is an NBA champion. But, you know, to me, the question is how is that coach going to be able to handle with that pressure, dealing with the adjustment that's going to have to be made. But I think that when it comes down to pedigree, and I do know that Milwaukee went there, you know, the year before that, but at the same time, I believe that, you know, I just like those two young guys if they play together, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
You know, I'm 100% on board with you. Honestly, I think that Boston right now is, and I know that Milwaukee has the best record, but honestly, I think Boston's the best team in basketball. I think there's just, they can do a little bit of everything so well. They defend well. They can shoot. Like you said, you can't guard them on the perimeter. Jason Tatum can go down low. There's just so much they have, and they don't even have their big man back. The thing, when he gets back healthy, I just honestly think Boston is just a complete team. I think the one advantage of coach that they do have, even though they have a new coach, he was with them last year, so it's not like he has to figure out what makes them tick come playoff time. He already knows. So I think that's actually going to help him as opposed to be a hindrance. Now, it's different when your voice is secondary and not primary, but I think he knows how not to wreck the ship, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I agree 100%, my man.
So, yeah, they're dangerous. Then you get to the West, and I hate to talk about them, but I'm going to start with it. What do the Lakers do? Well, first, before I ask the question, let me tell you what I say. Now, I got a little pushback from this from a Lakers fan that wants them to trade everything possible to get LeBron a ring opportunity. I think if they had, it would take them trading the first round pick this year, next year, the year after that, the year after that, and the year after that. And they don't have that. I think even if they bring in Buddy Hield and Miles Turner, it's not enough. And because of that, I think the higher-ups with the Lakers are smart. If you know they're not going to win a ring this year, you know they're not going to even compete for a title this year, don't salvage your future for something that's not going to happen. So I say go another way. Maybe trade AD. Maybe trade – obviously they want to trade Westbrook. But move AD while you can still get something for him. I think that's the right direction to go.
So if you trade AD, what you getting for him?
You know what? Honestly, I know this sounds crazy, especially because LeBron, people don't want to see LeBron win more ring, and LeBron himself, I'm sure, doesn't want to do it, but I think it's time to blow it up. I think it's time to get as young as you can and get as many picks as you can and start thinking about tomorrow, because today that sun is setting.
Yeah, and that's why I asked you that question, because I'm the same way. Like, it's like one of those things where, you know, I don't know what's wrong with LeBron, but it's one of those things where if I'm saying, hey, LeBron, you got an ailment, brother. Won't you just sit back and chill, go home, relax, see Bronny play his senior year and help him out with the recruitment, because we're going to get rid of AD. We're going to free up some cap space. We're going to get lottery picks, get a couple expiring firing contracts to get that, and we're going after that dude from France. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, because
right.
It just seems to me the Lakers are bad, dude. Like, I was like, the Sixers played they played in Atlanta a couple of days ago. I keep forgetting yesterday. So I was in the room watching the Lakers play. Dude, I couldn't believe how bad they were, and it's like the Lakers, and so I, you know, I hate to say it, but I'm with you. It's time for them to start rebuilding, and unfortunately for AD, you know, a good, great player, but he just hasn't lived up to that hype. Like, L.A. isn't for everyone, you know what I mean?
Nope.
And he just hasn't lived up to that hype to me, and I'm with you, dude. It's like, you know, I would like let him go, but again, you know, LeBron is a winner. He likes going out to being a winner. But if I'm the Lakers, I'm having a long, hard talk about him about, you know, coming back next year with the young fella. If we
because it's starting to become, you know, what exactly are they doing? If you look at their record, they're 2-9 or 2-10. I forget. But one of those wins came on forcing an overtime game. And believe me, I'm not knocking this kid. The kid that was driving Uber last year and now in the league this year, him hitting a fadeaway three at the buzzer just to force overtime, they're that close to being like 1-10, 1-11. If that's what it takes to make you win one extra game, your season is already in trouble, and now LeBron is hurt. He's going to be out tonight. At some point, you just got to face reality. And I think Jeannie Buss is facing that reality without having to come out and say it, because you know what happened. If Jeannie Buss comes out and just says, flat out, we're not trading those two number one picks. We have to think about our future. It is what it is, and we just got to figure out what we have. If she comes out and says that, she'll get crucified because LeBron James is on that roster. So it's better to say nothing and let your actions show it than to do it. But that Buddy Hill and Turner, if that's what they're really trying to get, that doesn't save that team at all.
Nah, so, all that does is get Buddy Hill and Miles Turner out of Indiana. That's all it does. That's all it does. It gets them into L.A. where they can, you know, wear shorts year round. You know, you know what I'm saying? Enjoy life. They have palm trees. That's all that does. Because I don't see, I mean, because see, the thing is, in order for the Lakers to win, Anthony Davis has to be the man. LeBron has to be find a little bit of fountain youth. The rest of these guys are, I mean, I'm not trying to be critical, but they're basically plugs and role players. And
right.
You understand? Like, you can come there, but if AD ain't playing up to par, then it doesn't matter what you do. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter what you do. But he still can hit 5 threes. That ain't helping him though. You know, it's
you are 100%. You're 100% correct. And I'll tell you something else that I noticed. I honestly think the only reason AD is playing right now is because he's tired of people saying that he's soft and he stays hurt and he doesn't play through pain. Because that dude looks like he's having a hard time during points of the game with his back getting up and down the court. And I really believe that's why he hasn't missed another game or a couple more games, because I think he's tired of hearing that he doesn't play through pain. But you can see he's struggling and laboring.
Yeah, you can definitely see that. You can definitely. And also, I think, like, you're right, because I think the pride aspect has a lot to do with it. Because let's face it, AD, you know, isn't it crazy how AD, before he became a Laker, he was regarded as, like, arguably the best player in the league. You know what I mean? People, like, said that about him. Like, you know, this guy has ascended to being, like, you know, a bona fide top five guy. You know, and some people argue that he's the best player. He goes to the Lakers. They win a championship. And then after that, it's like he's been injured, he's been hurt, and he's been underachieving. You know, it's like, you know, be careful what you ask for. Now, again, he did get a title. He did get paid. But it's funny how now people are like, yo, he's the one that has to go, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I've long contended on air with me, the one, the only Keith Pompey, Philly Inquirer, 76ers beat writer. I've said this over and over again, and I will stick with this. I know they won their ring, their one ring in the bubble.
The bubble one?
I honestly think the bubble one. I honestly think they would have had more rings if they were patient. And this is the one time where I'll lean on LeBron for this one, for his age saying, I've got to win now. Make it happen. I don't care. But I look at that team, and I say, if that team was just patient and they waited and developed, Ingram, Ball would have been your point guard, your true point guard. And you had Hart, who can shoot. You had Caruso. You had KCP. You had all these guys. You had Randall. You had all these guys that you gave up to get one dude or to make room for one dude. And then you made room for that other dude in Westbrook. You did all that to make it happen now. Whereas could you imagine if that team and LeBron was just patient and gave it a, we may not win this year, but the way they would be set and his workload that he would not have if he would have just waited for these dudes to make that one more year leap.
Yeah, it's bad, man. It's bad because, again, like, and the thing about the bubble championship, you know, we all going to remember it as the bubble championship. We, like, you know what I mean? That's what it's known as. And in the bubble championship, it's like, you know, it's to me, you can argue, like, and I hate to say this, and I hope people in L.A. don't get mad at me, but the team that won it, the team that had the fortitude to stay in the bubble the longest won the championship. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Yeah. You know, it's kind of crazy, you know. And it's not, you know, and I hate to say that about that king, but it's, to me, it's just one of those things where, you know, we don't give the bubble champions respect. Like, think about this. The people who made, like Dame Lillard got the bubble MVP, right? He was in there. He got MVP and all that. Well, none of that stuff is listed anywhere. Like, the league isn't acknowledging it, but they're acknowledging the bubble champion. So it's kind of like, it just tells you how much it doesn't matter if bubble didn't matter to some people. You know what I mean? Because
yeah.
If you're going to acknowledge the bubble champion, then you got to acknowledge what Dame Lillard did in the bubble.
Right. Right. You know? Quickly, I got to ask you, what's wrong with the Warriors?
You know, I don't know. I you know, at first, I, you know, you wonder if it has anything to do with, you know, what happened with the fight and all that, or is it like an NFL hangover? You know, like these guys are getting older and the celebration and, hey, we're back on top, you know, You know what I'm saying? You know, it's weird. Like, you know, it's just weird. But they look, I'm not gonna say they look old, but they look different. You know what I mean? They just look different. But it looks like doesn't they look like a team that had a Super Bowl hangover though? If it was football,
they do it, and they look like a team that, like you said, that's older and one, they're way more sensitive. For the most part. And two, they should know by winning titles, your first month out the gate, you're everyone's championship. So when they're not up for some of these guys, some of these teams, and they go down to Orlando or like that, those guys are up for you. That's their playoffs because they know they're going nowhere. And I think they'll get right. I just think right now you can see that. You can see that the champagne is kicking in still right now.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. It's still kicking
also,
in.
Also, Charles said something that's not a lie, and I know Clay took offense to it, but Clay isn't Clay. And when you get older, look, I'll attest to it. When you get older at a certain – and it's funny how when you're 21, you get to 28, you're better because you're more muscular, you're more athletic, your muscles are developed, you're great. But from 28 to 36, those muscles and that recovery is going the other way. And if you get injured, it's definitely going the other way. So I don't think it was an insult when he said Clay's not the same Clay and he doesn't think he'll ever be the old Clay again, because you don't come off injuries at 30-something the way you come off injuries at 20-something, especially the injuries he has. And I think Golden State higher-ups know that. I think that's why they signed Wiggins. I think that's why they signed Poole. And I think that's why they're dragging their feet on Draymond, because Draymond is Steph's guy. Draymond is Clay's guy. Draymond isn't the guy for the future guys. And I think they're dragging their feet on that because obviously the young guys don't, lack of a better phrase, they don't take that same shit that, you know, Steph and Clay are used to, and it's Steph's team anyway. So Steph isn't going to take shit from anybody. It's his team. I don't think Poole and Wiggins and those guys have that same Draymond can talk to us any kind of way mentality, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree. But you know what? I think a lot of it is, you know, with that, you know, I think, yeah, they're looking at it and they're seeing the age and they're seeing roles and they're seeing this. But at the same time, I think with Clay getting upset, I mean, sometimes you have to give yourself a mental motivation. You know what I mean? Kind of sort of like,
yeah.
You know, when he was coming up, Katz was saying, you're only good because of your father. You know, you only got a Division I scholarship because of your dad. And I think stuff like that fueled him. So the part that Charles Barkley said, what he said, fuels him, you know. Also, I don't know. And I think, you know, some of the stuff that they were going on is because there is probably becoming a little bit of changing of the guard, so to speak, within there, where some of the younger guys might feel a little bit empowered, you know? So, you know, again, this is just me speculating and not really knowing, but I know, like, sometimes, you know how it is. We all do. You're the old head at the park, and then you still think you got the young spark with you, and you trying to, like, yo, I'm going to have to handle this young dude because he disrespected me. But then deep down inside, you know, really only got another year or two of this, right? Like, you know what I mean? You know, young boy, right, only had another year or two, but I don't want them to know it. But yeah, it's been tough. You look at the injuries that all these guys have had in their careers, and it's tough for them to do it. And maybe, you know, the Draymond thing, you know, they just, you know, you get a little bit tired of it. Now the thing is, let's keep it 100. If they turn this around and all of a sudden they look at Draymond and they look at him as an X factor as far as his, you know, the way he met his mental game with people and stuff like that, you best believe they're going to welcome him. But when the team is struggling, that's one of those things where you could say, well, you know, what am I putting up with this for, you know?
You know who he reminds me of towards the end of his career a lot? And I'm old enough to remember it. A lot of young guys thought, it's Rodman. Rodman with the Bulls. The first year with the Bulls, he was 100% Rodman. Worked. Second year, 100% Rodman. Worked. Third year, 100% Rodman. Didn't work as well. Goes out to a Lakers team, doesn't work at all. And I think sometimes as the years go on and your productivity, not because of anything other than, you know, everyone that stays in the league for a while, your productivity starts to go down. I think guys stop, I don't want to say listening or fearing, but that level changes. Because like I said, man, these young Thundercats, they don't care. I mean, we remember the way that the older dudes looked at Jordan. And then remember, Iverson crossed him up. You know, and he had that, I don't care who you are, mentality. I think guys are starting to get that with the older guys in general in the league. I don't think young dudes fear LeBron when they play him. They don't worry about Draymond's antics. They don't worry about the older guys the way they used to, because these new young dudes, their mentality level is just different.
Yeah, that's true. I give you that.
So,
it is different. Yeah.
They don't care, man. I mean, literally, and it takes me back to Doc Son when he was in high school talking about whose butt he was going to bust and all that, and he didn't. But the point, though, is they all have that mentality now. I mean, John Morant could give a less than a crap who you are. He don't care. Zion Williams looks at you standing in front of him like, I don't care who you are. I'm going through you. And I love it because every generation, we see that come through. You know, we saw with Magic coming in, and then we saw with Michael coming in. We saw with Isaiah. We saw with Kobe, with LeBron. I think it's cool that the league is technically letting the young dudes now do their thing. In Boston, Tatum, Brown. I think it's kind of cool, actually, to see these young cats do that.
Yeah.
Kind of told the old dudes, we respect you, but we don't fear you no more.
True that. You're right. They don't fear. I mean, that's what it is. It's like, and that's the thing. They're bigger, stronger, faster, and, like, they're not in awe. You know what I mean?
All right. So I gotta ask, because I know I got to let you go here. December 11th is coming. That's the date you got circled. Don't tell me what you want to happen. Tell me what you think going to happen.
I think the Giants are going to win it.
Okay.
I'm like up in the air. I'm up in the air. Like, if I'm going to be honest with you, the Giants have been extremely fortunate this year, in my opinion. Extremely fortunate. So, at the same time, it's one of those things where they know how to win close games. So I think if they keep it close and do a good job on Brown, I think that they'll have a Brown, meaning the wide receiver for the Eagles. I think that they'll have a pretty good game. I do. I think they can win it. I do. But I hope that they beat the brakes off of them. But that's probably not going to happen.
All right, but tell everyone, and first of all, buy yourself some Ray-Bans and get you like a Afro wig or something, because when that game is over, you are going into hiding. Because I know you won't be found anywhere. Give people a place they can check you out.
You can check me out on Twitter at Pompey on Sixers. You can follow me you can follow my podcast, Locked On 76ers Podcast, on YouTube or wherever else you can get your podcast at. And you can read my stuff in theinquirer.com.
All right, bro. Well, I got the restroom picked out when you get down here. And, you know, we'll be at the game together, obviously. I got the restroom picked out, and I even got a couple of cigars. So that way you're already ready to go, because I know you'll forget the name of the cigars second after you smoke it. So I ain't even worried about that. I got it covered.
Yeah. I know, right? I know. But, you know, a couple of ones you sent me, I went to the cigar spot around here and smoked them. So, you know what I mean? It's cool. I know a little something. I'm still on the mild. I'm on the mild thing, but don't laugh. No, I'm on medium, though. Mild. Yeah.
All right, bro. Well, listen, I'll get another care package out to you. Have a good night, brother. Thank you again.
All right, man. Peace, bro. Peace.
All right. Let it. That's my guy, the one, only Keith Pompey. So, in case y'all didn't know, every year we bet on who's going to have a better record, the Bears or the Giants. And every year we've been making that bet. Somehow the Bears have been showing up with a better record. And because of that, every year, he's holding the dinner when he comes to Phoenix. You know, obviously I cover the Suns, he covers the Sixers. And last year it worked out perfectly because it was a longer stay. So we didn't have to rush after a game or anything like that. So this year, though, I think I'm going to have to open up my wallet. I don't think there's no way in hell that I come back and the Bears come back and surpass the Giants. But either way, make sure you check them out. Good dude, incredible, incredible writer. Like I said, he doesn't just know the Sixers, he knows the NBA. So that's Keith Pompey. All right, we got a lightning round coming. You know, this is the time I like to put a little bit of money in your pocket. So we'll do that right after this break. This is Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend and I said, "Hey, shut up. Because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
Show with PLR. This is PLR coming to you live from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. It is Cigars with the Cave Show. We're here every single Friday. I know it used to be Thursday, but we're now here every single Friday giving you exactly what you like. Always great to catch up with great guests, talk good sports, talk good other things that's going on around us. So it is that time. Every week I come, and I know I don't do the Thursday game anymore, but I tell you what, I don't care what platform that game was on last night. Falcons versus the Panthers, that is the I would rather go shopping with my wife game. But as soon as they put that game on Thursday, I don't think anybody gave a crap about that game. Panthers did end up winning 25-15, but that was the most who cares game I think I've ever seen. I don't think anybody gave a crap about that game. Unless you live in either Atlanta or you live, you know, outside in the Carolina and the Charlotte area. But with that being said, it's time to put some money in your pocket I'm going to give it to you this week. I gave them to you last week. You know what time it is. PLR 6. All right, y'all, let's do this. Let me put a little bit of money, some change in your pockets by giving you the best that the NFL has to offer this week. Let's start it off with the Seahawks and the Bucks from Germany. Tom came back last week against the Rams. Epic Tom. No, it was epic meltdown by the Rams. The Seahawks are going to go all the way to Germany. All the way to kick the Buccaneers' ass. They're favored by 2.5. Basically a field goal. Take them. Take that 2.5. The Vikings are playing against the Bills up in Orchard Park. I call this the possum game. It is a 3.5 point favor for Buffalo, which tells me somewhere the wise guys in Vegas think that Josh Allen just might play. If he didn't, the Vikings would be favored. If you bet this game, make it the last minute bet. If Josh Allen plays, take that 3.5. If Josh Allen does not play, take the Vikings outright to win. It's really just that simple. Broncos Titans. Is Russ going to cook? Is Russ going to get right? Or is that tight end they have in the backfield in Minnesota going to run all over the Denver defense? That's what is yet to be determined. If I had to bet, Tennessee is a 3-point favorite at home. At home. I don't like Russ on the road. I don't like the Broncos on the road. I don't like Nathaniel Hackett at all. Take the Titans, take the 3 points. I know we always say both teams get paid. Jacksonville's going to the Chiefs. They have an alien. And you've been hearing me say this for 4 years. There's an alien playing quarterback for the Chiefs. And Jacksonville's coming in town. And they like to cook out in Kansas City, where they're going to be cooking out outside the stadium and inside the stadium. Take the Chiefs in at 9.5. I don't even think it's going to be that close. The Browns go down to Miami to play the Dolphins. And the Dolphins were in a fight last week up in Chicago, going back and forth, back and forth. Chicago surprised the hell out of everybody by putting up that many points. Can the Browns do that, though, in Miami? And if you're the Browns coach, is there a 4 o'clock curfew? Because I don't know if you've ever been to Cleveland this time of year. It's not that pretty. Well, let's be honest. It's not that pretty any time you go. But especially this time of year. And they're going down to South Beach. That's a South Beach hangover. Give me Miami. Give me that 3.5. In New York, the 1-6 and 1 Houston Texans come into town to play the Giants, who are favored by 4.5. I'm going to say something that will sound idiotic, and I'm going to say it anyway. Houston might be the best 1-6-1 team I've seen. And it doesn't matter. The Giants are going to take care of business against the Texans. The Giants are playing at a good level. They can win. Like my man Keith Pompey just said, they can win close games. I don't think this will be a close game. I think the Giants are at least a full touchdown better. The wise guys have them going off of 4.5. Take the Giants and take the points. In a game where, to me, points don't matter, just take the under. You got the Saints and the Steelers. Neither team can score, and neither team is fun to watch. I say this is the sleep of the week game. Not sleeper, sleep. Tape it. DVR it. Put it on VHS. Put it on Betamax. Pretend like you're at a movie back in the day and bootleg it, tape it, and watch it later, it will put you to sleep. The Saints are favored on the road by a point and a half. Who's even playing quarterback for them? Who knows? Who cares? I'm actually going to buck that point and a half. I'm going to go with the Steelers at home to outright win in a game that nobody wants to watch. Give me the Steelers. And another game that's basically the same, the Colts play the Raiders. In this game, that would be the who cares game if it wasn't for Pittsburgh and New Orleans. The Raiders love number one picks. All right, they love to cut them because they cut another one. They had a linebacker retire. Their top tight end is hurt. Their, one of their best wide receivers, Renfrow, is hurt. Their owner has a bad haircut. Their coach looks lost. They managed to lose in Jacksonville, and they're going to play a team, or a team rather is coming to play them, that hired an old center that just was working pancake angles on ESPN a week ago. And they expect you to really pick someone? I guess technically this is where you go with the Raiders. If the Raiders are ever going to win a game, this should be the one. Young quarterback with the Colts. Can you call him a rookie coach? He's a rookie to the rookie to the fill-in coach. This pains me to say, but give me the Raiders in a 4.5. This next game is the season is over for Aaron Rodgers' game. I know the Cowboys always do Cowboys things, but not this time. They're going to go up to Lambeau, and they're going to beat the Packers simply because they're just a better team. The Packers aren't good. Aaron doesn't trust his receivers. Aaron doesn't trust anybody. Give me the Cowboys over the Packers and take that 4.5. The Chargers are playing the Niners on Sunday Night Football. The Chargers, in my opinion, the 49ers, in my opinion, are the most dangerous team in the NFC. They can run. They can pass. They can play defense. They can do it all. The Chargers, on the other hand, are the worst 5-3 team in the league. They always find a way to fold. Go ahead. Give me the Niners at home. I don't like the 7, but I like them. So if you're betting the spread on this one, definitely take the Chargers in this game to cover the point. Niners will win, Chargers will cover. Monday night, the Eagles and the Commanders. So on Monday night, the Eagles are playing. There it is. They're favored by 11 over the Commanders, who has no quarterback. No anything. The Eagles should blow them out the water. I hate picking 11 points because, like I said, yeah, both teams get paid. But it really won't matter. Take the Eagles. Take the 11. The Cardinals are going out to the Rams. And the Cliff Kingsbury should have been fired game. As bad as the Rams are, they're still favored by 2.5 over the Cardinals. What does that say about the Cardinals? What does it say about Cliff? And if Cliff can't find a way to win this game, is it finally time? Will it finally be time to move off the Cliff Kingsbury experiment? It should have been a long time ago. Give me the Rams. I think they cover. I think they definitely win. Give me them over the Cardinals. So that way we can have fun saying why Cliff still has a job in the NFL on next week's show. And then lastly, my Bears play against the Lions. I don't know about the rest of you, but in Chicago, we love this game every year because there's certain things that are just guaranteed. Death, taxes, and that the Lions will always suck at football. This is the week the Bears put that offense together. They look good all the way through. That young defense will find a way to hold up against the Lions offense, which is actually pretty good. Even with that said, 2.5 point spread, give me the Bears over the Lions. And there you go. I did it once again. I put money in your pocket. That last segment brought to you by Scott and Sullivan Wine Consultant, Tina Calhoun, 602-410-4821. Tired of drinking wine and feeling like you got a case of the blahs? That's really simple. It's because too much preservatives, sugars, additives, all the things that makes wine bad and taste bad to you. Give her a call. She will set up a wine tasting for you and get wine done the correct way. No sugars, no preservatives, no additives. It's Tina Calhoun, 602-410-4821. It is always, always fun to be here at Maduro's. Thank you for hosting us as well. And we're at Maduro's and Chandler. There are two locations, one in Mesa, one in Chandler. Thank you for having us today on the Cave Show. Thank you. I know I had some callers on hold. I apologize. I will get to you on the next show. Patient, hang in there. I will get to you. Thank you, Keith Pompey, Philly Inquirer, 76 Speed Writer, Locked On the Sixers Podcast. Great follow, great listen, great slam. Thank you for hanging out with me today. We're going to change it up as we walk out the door today. Definitely going to change it up just a little bit music-wise. Make sure you're following us on social media, at the Sports Cave, on the Twitter, the Facebook, and the Instagram. Cave is with a K. And you can get me directly on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. Be good to each other. Take care of each other. And until next time, this has been The Cave Show with PLR.